Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide.
Yeah, think about it. I'm going to read these two verses. Remember I told you I was reading Ephesians when I wrote this. Yeah. I'm going to read these two verses and you tell me what it says that we have to do so that we can somehow or another get in on that. Mm-hmm. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our heavenly, wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Mm-hmm. That was all done before he did anything.
Right. That's his eternal intention, plan, desire that's unfolding, that we are awakening to, we're beginning to see.
But it's all in love.
Yeah.
We find later, according to his great pleasure, mm-hmm. according to the riches of his grace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is love and grace and pleasure?
Right.
That's a vast different view of the God I grew up on.
Well, one, where we grew up, you just read from the Passion.
We can't read from that verb.
Yeah, it was the Passion paraphrase.
Yeah. I can read it out of here.
Well, okay.
Thing.
Well, this one if you read it out of a King James, that's a New King James.
Yeah, but this one ain't legal in some churches.
That's right. It, but the idea, you can read it if you want to.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Okay. But what we come up from is God chose us, and immediately the conversation went to the topic of election and predestination, because that word predestination is in there in the another verse or two. And
he chose us in the election. Well, chose us.
Yes, but that got interpreted in certain ways of he chose some people to be his, and he chose some to not be. That's basically what they was telling me, you know. And who did he choose? And in that whole debate, I think we even did an episode on that one time. It seemed like maybe we talked about that once.
Probably.
But it don't matter if we'll go again.
Yeah, shoot.
But the whole idea of how election and predestination was taught to me, or how the framework of which you thought about it, whether you ended up with a Calvinist or an Arminian view or some hybrid in between, and all of them just missing the point, I think. That's where I've come to of what he was saying. I think the Passion Translation captures the heart of God about that. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that he chose everyone in Christ, and he has determined that we're all going to be before him as his children. If you never get to that, then that other can melt off of you, and because the other's always problematic, which is why there's the two camps that's arguing about it all the time.
Yeah.
And neither one of them won't accept that everybody's in. But that was, I guess, what kept afflicting me is that was like, this is only two ways to look at this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, there's another third way.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot better.
Yeah. Which, by the way, was the predominant belief of the first 500 years of the early church.
Yes.
Not saying I agree with completely with all of that. Maybe I should, but I'm just saying it was a predominant belief back then.
Yes. Yeah.
Till Augustine got us hooked up with the emperor and things got turned around.
He was the only one. Wasn't there six or seven schools?
Five, I think. And there was one that was eternal conscious torment.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I think, were ultimate restorationists. Mm-hmm. And then there was one annihilation, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, I think that's right.
But anyway, it's just a whole different view of God. And what just keeps me going, aside from the fact that the Lord told me I was hot on his trail to keep on coming, is just the life that mm-hmm. I get from this continued ongoing growing in revelation that mm-hmm. I see that God is good and the world is good. And there's a new world, a new life that's ours mm-hmm. in Christ. Mm-hmm. This kingdom of God, this rule and reign of God now in our life. Mm-hmm. The peace, the joy. Just.
Well, if we go back to the, he's a life-giving spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of, let's see, what is it? What's that Romans 8 about? The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me
free
from the law of sin and death.
That's a good
The old covenant ministered death.
Mm-hmm.
Christ ministers life. So is the way you're thinking, is it life-giving or is it choking the life out of you? Is
mm-hmm.
it killing you? The way that you treat people,
mm-hmm.
is it bringing life into the relationship, or is it killing the relationship?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm like, okay, that's a filter I look at now in what I'm, how I'm thinking, how I'm relating, what I'm doing. Is there life here, or is there death here? And move towards life.
Yeah, this verse right here ought to be the death nail to religion. I'll read these two verses. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh,
mm-hmm.
God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing that you can do.
Well, no. Well, that's the whole thing. Any law system where you must work and perform to earn and get and do, I lump them all together, whether it's a Mosaic law or earlier in Romans, he talked about the Gentiles are a law unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That whole, the mentality of the law mm-hmm. has been removed. And that's where we got to repent and renew our minds.
Yeah, transactional.
We got to, it's because it's all transactional. It's hierarchical. It's in and out. Haves, have not. Us versus them.
It really goes back to the two trees.
To the two trees. The odds of good and evil. Tree of life.
Deuteronomy. God said, I set before you life and death.
Choose life.
Choose life.
Yeah. You got a tree of life, or you got a tree of knowledge of good and evil?
In him was life.
In him was life.
That life was the light of men. Yeah. And then we got the spirit of life that freed us.
Yeah. And Adam all died, and Christ all made alive. So which way are you going to live?
Yeah. You got a new life, and it was all, it's hidden, but it's been revealed that we are his inheritance, and he is ours. And he, by his mighty power, is accomplishing infinitely more than our greatest requests, our most unbelievable dreams, exceeding our wildest imaginations. Mm-hmm. He is outdoing them all, bringing us fully into our divine destiny. Mm-hmm. See, that's, you got to renew your mind if you're going to believe that.
Right.
But that's what Paul said in Ephesians mm-hmm. 3.
Mm-hmm.
What can you imagine?
Well, he can do exceedingly abundantly above whatever it is.
Do it. Yeah, our most unbelievable dreams, wildest imaginations. He's outdoing them all, bringing mm-hmm. us fully into our divine destiny. There's an overriding mm-hmm. plan and purpose of God that he takes great pleasure in. And I can rest in it.
Yes, and it's a good plan.
Yeah,
he's a good father.
I don't have to strive and struggle to make mm-hmm. things happen.
No, because I'm cooperating with him in what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I can work independent of him if I want to, but I don't have to.
You work
I can labor curse. Under a curse if I want to.
You work under the curse if you want to. And that's one of the things I heard, we heard growing up too, you know, it's mm-hmm. just by the sweat of your brow.
Yeah.
But man, that's all the way back in Genesis. What?
Well, yeah, but there was, it was emphasized that we're under a curse and an ignoring of Christ has become a curse for us and has removed it.
Yeah.
And I'll even say that the curse that was placed was mistaught.
Mm-hmm.
And when you... I'd have to think through and read through that a little bit before I wanted to maybe talk about it. All right. One of the things that I think that you and I have talked about that we're learning to rethink and to be aware of is I would say what's always been versus what we thought happened at a point in time or started to happen at a point in time.
Yeah.
When really it's, the truth is, it's always been that way, but we couldn't see it, we didn't believe it, we acted different.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we've talked about and that make that list. And I'm thinking about some of those things like the lie of separation, but the truth is, we never were separated, just in our minds.
Yeah.
You're born a sinner, and rather, you know, and a child of the devil, yeah. rather than thinking about, no, you've always been a child of your father, and your true nature
mm-hmm.
is one of innocence.
Divinity is your identity.
Right. While we also are aware that even in our own experience, there was a moment in time when we began to see different, believe different, experience different.
Yeah.
But all that was our coming into what's always been.
Yeah.
Okay.
Making it so.
We didn't make it so. It's just when it became so to us in the sense of we started experiencing what was reality. It's no different than if you sleep till noon and you get up and walk outside and the sun's shining. Well, it's been shining since sun up. You just slept till noon and then you begin to see it. So that idea of what's always been versus what began, and what, and a lot of that hinged out of really trying to understand what Jesus accomplished at the cross.
Yeah.
Getting caught up in atonement theories of, and then depending on what atonement theory you come up with, it greatly influences how you think about everything that was before that in time or in history. Well, within that, one of the things is that idea. Did things just start happening at the cross, and or what did start happening at the cross versus what's always been? And you and I have talked a lot about even that, about what did actually shift and change and begin then that wasn't before, like the new creation. We got original creation and new creation that seemed to happen, in the how we understand the wording and the language of that. Well, in that realm of conversation, one comes along with the Spirit of God. When did we get the Spirit of God? Well, when you read your Bible, that happened at Pentecost.
Yeah,
that's a standard.
Or John 20.
John 20, where Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, it came. Well, the debate, I say the debate or the discussion is that when people got the Spirit, or is that when they woke up and realized the Spirit has always been with them, but they gave it no place, no prominence, never acknowledged, yielded, surrendered to it at all?
Yeah. So maybe the cross and Pentecost and even John 20 is more of Jesus is just revealing are emphasizing, bringing to light that has always been.
Yeah, but I think my default is to think about it, this is when it started.
Yeah.
Okay, because when I think, well, this is what's always been, well, then how do I explain a bunch of other stuff, other scriptures, Bible story, and then why did it happen? If it's always been, then why did it happen?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm jumping all over the place with my thoughts here, James.
For revelation, because that's why Jesus came, to reveal the Father and who we are in Him.
True, because it was what was true about us, but we did not believe it. We were blind to it. We were never going to see it unless He came. But we talked about like forgiveness.
Yeah.
The cross revealed the forgiveness.
Yeah.
Rather,
it didn't make it possible.
It wasn't how God says, "Oh, I can forgive you now." I've been holding.
Now that I've tortured my son, I can forgive you.
Right, but that's how I thought about it, and that's how a lot of people think about it. And you can read some Old Testament scriptures seem to give you that view of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first to admit, just come to understand it differently. In the idea of Pentecost and the Spirit coming is how do we think about that? And of course, normally in most denominations today, with from the Charismatics to others, is the receiving of the Holy Spirit something that happens at salvation, or at is it a second work of grace? Is it something, the baptism of the Spirit? And that opens up a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that gets caught up in, it's like the predestination conversation and election conversation. The discussion starts heading in a direction that I believe misses the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back to original intent, what's always been, what's the desire and intent of the Father, and get a different view of that.
The ultimate intention.
And if we do that with the Spirit,
what do you think?
We begin to see something different. Because some of the debate is, were Old Testament saints indwelt or born again of the Spirit?
Peter says the Spirit of Christ was in
there. Yes. But was that for everybody or for a select few? And then when Pentecost did happen in time, and God poured out His Spirit as on all flesh, as Joel said, that Peter said, this is that.
Mm-hmm.
Did He mean all flesh, or just those that jump through some hoops.
Just 120.
Yeah. Well, it became 3,000 that day.
Yeah, but you can make an argument that that fulfillment came on the 120.
Yes, came on the 120, and they're like, what do we got to do? And he said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How you know. Yeah. Again, a transaction you get in on.
Yeah.
And that day, 3,000 were saved and added to the church.
So why is he saying all flesh? Just to limit it to the 120 or even to the 3,000? I think he means all flesh.
Well, that's our current understanding of that.
Because it goes back to what you're saying. Ultimately, I think now, I hadn't always thought of it this way, but that's a revelation of that's true. The Spirit is on all flesh. He's in every man.
Right.
We can't exist without him. He's given us life. Does that mean everybody's living the life that God desires for them? No.
No.
But they have it.
Well, I think we all would agree that every person has a spirit.
Yeah.
Now the debate begins, do they have the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's just a skewed and flawed interpretation of a verse.
Well, I'm going to parallel these two. I don't know if this makes sense or if it's even right, just with this me and you talking about it, is if I say every man has life, and since God is the only true source of life, you can't have life without it coming from him.
I think that's what John 1 says.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. But, all right, is it not a parallel to say, well, if every person has a spirit, then how could they have that spirit apart from God who is
spirit? Yeah.
How could you have a spirit and not get it from the Spirit?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And then how could a man's spirit be isolated from the Spirit who is everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole problem of that, the opposite of that is, you know, man is some autonomous individual, separate being.
Again,
he's separate from God.
We go back to the live separation.
Yeah, and that when man has kids or they procreate, it's man. Mm-hmm. It's. But you can't exist outside of God. You can't. You cannot have life. In him was life.
Mm-hmm.
And that life is the light of men. He lights every man that comes into the world. You could say that he gives life to every man that comes into the world.
Well, I don't know if since we're just riding and talking through the years, I guess I have always believed that Old Testament saints were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's always been my position. And only certain select people in the Old Testament were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Like the judges and the prophets. They were anointed. And I've always made a distinction between the indwelling presence of the Spirit versus the empowering that came upon people to do certain things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been my view. And then at Pentecost, all believers, to where I used to be, all believers, were both indwelt and empowered. And it's for everybody. And then I finally realized, no, he said for all flesh. And I'm like, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what's always been versus what somebody at a point in time awakens to, embraces, believes. experiences.
Yeah. But yeah, because one of the things that's helped me along the way is understanding that scripture. I think it's in Jeremiah that talks about the Ethiopian changing his skin. And he asks, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And when God got it started, I mean, he created Adam. Adam was the son of God. And Adam not always the son of God. That's how he's listed in the genealogy. Adam, the son of God. He didn't become a child of the devil and then later on a child of God again. I mean, so we're all children. And there's nothing that we can do to change that. I mean, you're a child of your father, Mr. Hudson.
Yeah.
You can't change that.
No. I may act like a Hudson, I may not act like a Hudson.
Yeah.
And that's not a compliment when I do. Well, you're a child of God, even if you act like a child of the devil.
Yeah. You are of your father, the devil.
Mm-hmm. Because they were seeking to kill Jesus. And that's what the yeah. fallen mind is doing. Goes back to that death, that ministry of death.
Yeah, here's a good one for you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. That's another good one.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love he has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.
Winds howl through the narrow lane. The faith lights up the darkened plain. Mile by mile we bravely ride, with God's goodness as our guide.